Good evening, saints. I greet you in the name of the altogether lovely one who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, to this house of worship this evening, thank you for being here tonight. I pray that the Lord and His good Spirit will rest upon each of us as we come together this evening in worship. I'd like to read as a call to worship out of the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter and beginning of verse 17. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, I am he of whom it is written by the prophets, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they, believing on his words, left their nets and straightway followed him. Jesus Christ is that object which we come together tonight to worship. And I think that I can say those same words to you. Come, let us be fishers of men and follow this Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So we commend him to you this evening and pray that that which we do and the service that we would offer here this night will be pleasing unto him. I ask that you continue to remember our brother Chris in your prayers this evening. I know he has worked hard to bring those thoughts together so that tonight he can bring ministry to you. I'll be announcing the hymns this evening in case you weren't able to get a bulletin this morning. And we'll begin with hymn number 279, The Church's One Foundation. Afterwards, Brother Tom will bring our invocation.
Heavenly Father, we've gathered here this evening, Father, to come into your presence, to hear the spoken word. Lord, and we ask that you would bless our brother Chris, that those things that are just deep into his heart and that he desires to share, that he might have that liberty and that freedom of speech to do so, that which he has prepared. And so, Father, we pray for him. We pray for this service. We're thankful for the presence of your Spirit as we sing the hymns, and we're thankful for those who are here. And we pray for those who couldn't be here, Lord, that you be with them. We ask, Lord, that you be with this hour. Lord, may we be in tune. May we be edified, and may we come closer to you and closer to your kingdom. This is my prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. For a scripture reading, I have chosen Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will be guided in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon me mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Thy soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed will inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Let's sing together hymn number 331, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 331.
Good evening. It's wonderful to see all your faces here. I appreciate the prayers on my behalf in preparation. I think last week I wouldn't even been able to get through this. Family's just getting over an illness, some form of flu that thanks to a lot of prayers finally seemed to be coming through. So I remember some years ago out in the foyer of this church discussing some issue that was going on in my life, and frankly I don't even remember what the issue was at this point anymore, but I do remember I was speaking to Brother Randy Van Eaton at the time, and I remember his response to hearing my troubles. It just struck me and stuck with me. His answer was, how's your prayer life? And it wasn't merely just an offhanded question. It was more like a diagnosis, much like a physician would ask you about your stress levels or how your diet is, or how a mechanic would check for spark and fuel and compression in a car that wouldn't start. How is your prayer life? A question like that takes you right back to your fundamentals, your basics. Just like a good coach would make sure that first that his players' fundamentals are good. In basketball, that would be like dribbling, passing, shooting. In football, that'd be the real football. Players, how they're moving off the ball, blocking, tackling, running routes. We have to maintain our spiritual fundamentals. So in karate, that's called the kihon, your basics. And it'd be your building blocks where you start. And initially, that would be how your stance is, you know, because if you stance isn't good, your balance isn't good, your karate's not going to be any good. Similarly, if your prayer life is not any good, if you're not coming unto God morning, noon, and night in gratitude with humility, how are you to remain connected to Him? Prayer is, if nothing else, an exercise in faith. Faith that that you're communicating and there's someone on the other side of that communication, someone listening, someone with the power to do something in your life through either communicating back or through action. If there wasn't someone on the other side, what would even be the point of prayer? So if prayer is an exercise in faith, would it not follow that the more you pray, the bigger and stronger your faith should become? And conversely, the stronger your faith, the more powerful your prayers will become. Roughly about a year and a half ago, wife and I discussed putting the children into martial arts classes, something with discipline, with a good exercise for them. Physical exercise and activity. So I knew someone from back in the 90s, and I gave him a call. He has a dojo out in the Oak Grove area, and asked him about getting my kids involved. And, you know, he said, well, we should get together and meet. And we did. And Aaron and I took the children out there, and we started discussing it. And he asked me, he's like, what about you? He's like, you want to join up and learn too? And I was like, well, I got to get in shape. I already had some idea of what the physical demands are for doing that kind of activity. And he very wisely looked me in the eye and said, you don't get in shape to do karate. You do karate to get in shape. And so he got me signed up, and then he turned on Aaron and got her going too. And I got to tell you, got into it and found out that most of the leadership there, they're Christian men. They may not be Latter-day Saints, but they are strong believers in Christ. From early on, when we find out someone connected to the organization was in the hospital, we'd either have a prayer at the end of the class, or sometimes they'd just stop class in the middle of it and have prayers for that person. So from day one, you could tell that there was going to be a lot of repetition and movement. The first exercise they teach you is about 10 different moves, and most of them are, you know, do it on one side and do it on the other. And this is helpful to get your Kihon, your basics, built up so that you can go on to other activities. But you repeat those movements so many times that you don't have to think about them. It's a process called building muscle memory, where the action or reaction becomes automatic. And I believe that daily prayer and therefore faith can be trained into us in a similar fashion by just starting your day, getting on your knees and praying to God, praying throughout the day. You know, when you're driving to work, driving from work, on your lunch break, and that can build a response in us where our initial action to adversity is to pray in faith. So as you advance in karate, you get taught more advanced movements, and if a sensei sees a breach in what you're doing, they will bring you back to the basics to try and correct that. Similarly, if there seems to be an issue in your spiritual life, we need to look at our basics. Ask yourselves, how is my prayer life? Am I communicating with my Creator? Am I thanking and praising Him? Am I bringing that which troubles me before Him? Am I seeking His advice and wisdom and counsel? From the second book of Nephi, chapter 7, starting at verse 103, "Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto Him continually by day, and give thanks unto His holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the covenants of the Lord, and how great His condescensions unto the children of men." As a parent, I really enjoy listening to my children's prayers. They are always earnest and heartfelt. In the mornings, on the way to their aunts, we say our prayers. A few months ago, however, while my sister-in-law, Virginia, was still recovering from the effects of COVID and wasn't able to watch them like she normally does, Dawn, my mother-in-law, was taking that task upon herself, and she would watch the children from the time where I'd have to leave to work and time they'd have to go to school. But one morning, during that period of time, I got a phone call from Erin. She said she was leaving work, that her mom had called, and she was feeling ill. Well, we had just gotten through COVID ourselves. Virginia had COVID. So I was very concerned for Dawn's health. And, you know, meeting up with Erin and handing off the kids to her, that wasn't a big problem for that particular morning. But yeah, my bigger concern was Don being healthy, and also that Erin or I would have to work out taking off days until we had someone to watch the kids again. So on my way out and to meet Erin, I asked the kids to each say a prayer for their grandma, and each one prayed that grandma wouldn't be sick, and I prayed as well. And after dropping them off, I went out to work, finished out my day, and came home. And it wasn't long after I got home that Erin received a call from Dawn, and if anyone knows her, they know her voice carries, so I was able to hear both sides of the conversation through Erin's phone. And she said that you know, wasn't long that morning that she started feeling better, until, you know, the effects were completely gone, and she'd recovered. And I firmly believe that my children's prayers were the avenue through which God blessed her. I know I read out of chapter 16 of the book of Alma this morning, but this is a little further on in the chapter, starting in verse 219. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and your wilderness. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. If you were here a few weeks ago, Kingdom Journey, the boys' scouting group out of South Chrysler, had participated in the Sunday service. Virgil and I have been involved in that program for over 3 years now, and we had a really nice weekend that weekend as we locked into the fellowship hall. And Friday and Saturday night, Saturday morning we went out, took the boys to Rock KC out in North Kansas City, and it's a rock climbing gym, and we were out there for several hours. And when we returned that evening, we started dinner and also put on a movie for the boys on the projector back there. I had not seen this movie before. It's been out for some time. It's called Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie. And I just hadn't had a chance to watch it before. Many of you might have seen it. For those who haven't, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, but you've had your time to get it watched. It's about a football coach at a Christian school. And he's really struggling. He hasn't had a winning season. He's getting a lot of flack from the parents and the other faculty. His car is pretty much falling apart. He has troubles with his house, and him and his wife have been struggling to get pregnant. The low point is when he finds out the booster club at the school is actively trying to replace him. At a pivotal moment during the film, one of his friends tells him a story about two farmers. And both farmers are experiencing hardship due to a drought, and their crops are struggling. And they both get down on their knees and pray to God to end the drought. But after praying, only one farmer starts preparing his land to receive the rain. And the other farmer does nothing. So his friend asks the coach, which man had more faith? And how many times do we ask for God's blessings and don't prepare to receive them? How can we expect to be blessed when we don't expect to be blessed? From the chapter 15 of the second book of Nephi, starting at verse 11, for if you would hearken unto the spirit which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, and that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. One more testimony for tonight is for the power of prayer. One of our fellow karate students, and I don't really want to mention his name because they've gotten some unwanted attention on social media to the point where This man's wife has shut down her social media accounts. He has unfortunately been in the hospital since mid-December. Most of that time was spent sedated on a ventilator. And his family has been on this emotional roller coaster this whole time, because they would get good news and then turn around and, you know, a total relapse. And they were really struggling with this. Many times we receive good news that he was improving, that they thought they were going to get him off the ventilator, only to turn around and have the proverbial rug snatched out from under us. One evening, as we were practicing at the dojo, we got news that the situation had turned very dire and that he was not expected to make it through the night. He has a wife and two kids. The kids are around my kids' age, and so I can really internalize that. And it terrified me to think about leaving my children without a dad. If I'd been in that guy's position, and I could have very easily been, you know, having gone through COVID in December myself. So news was given that he was not expected to make it through the night. We stopped our class, and one of the other students, one of the black belts, he prayed there on the spot for this man and his family. And like I've said, we've done that before in the dojo, and it's really nice to see. But after class, when we're driving home, I asked the children to also pray for him and his family, because I knew this was just an awful time for them. And after we had all prayed, I felt the Spirit in the car with us. I had tears running down my eyes because, like I said, I keep thinking about if I was in his place. It was a few classes after that news came back through. Like I said, she shut down her social media, so she was just communicating with a few of the leaders of the organization. But they did bring us news that not only had he survived that night, but he had a huge turnaround that very next morning. He's had many struggles since. His lungs have collapsed, and they had to reinflate him. He's had infections, but despite all that, and with much praying, he is now off the ventilators and is now eating solid foods. We even got to video chat with him this past week. If things continue to progress, we should see him returning home. There will be a long road to recovery for him, and the family will continue to need prayers and support. And there's already a plan in progress to help get their home ready for his special needs that he will have when he is able to return and his rehabilitation. There's just so many reasons to pray. We should pray with thanksgiving, pray to worship, pray for health, pray for healing, for prosperity, for wisdom, for peace. Pray for the priesthood, for the endowment, for our leadership, for Zion's establishment. Pray for our youth. One single reason came up over and over as I prepared for this sermon, as I was researching through the scriptures and considering what to use in my sermon tonight. And that recurring one is, pray lest you be led into temptation. It's really simple when you think on it. when you're praying, particularly praying in full humility on your knees before your Lord and King, when your mind is completely focused on Him, it's really hard to be led astray. From the 10th chapter of the book of Alma, verse 28, "But ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually that you may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord." This morning we sang hymn 313, "Look to the Beautiful," in early morning worship. The second verse, something grabbed my attention as we sang it. I thought, man, this would really fit in nicely to what I'm speaking about tonight. Again, that's the second verse of hymn 313, where it says, "Testing by purity, purging by prayer." I take this to mean that when you're looking at things in your life and analyzing, does this thing bring me closer to, or further to, from God? Does this glorify Him? If it does not, if it takes you further from the Creator, it is necessary to excise it, and that prayer is necessary to accomplish that. For my final scripture of the evening, chapter 8 of the third book of Nephi, verse 46, "Therefore blessed are ye if ye keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, yea, are led astray captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptations. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet them together. You shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they might come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that they may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye see that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye all have witnessed, and ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that you should come unto me, that ye might feel free and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world. And whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation."
Thank you, Brother Chris. Appreciate being reminded of those foundational principles of our faith and the importance of prayer. I thought it interesting, just about a week ago we had our priesthood meeting, and Brother Jeff Suddeth brought a devotional or a class on the subject of prayer to the priesthood. And so I certainly see how the Lord's good spirit knits together our thoughts and how we, when we come together to worship, that it's obvious that His Spirit has gone before us and has prepared the way. So I thank you very much for that. Let's close this evening by the use of hymn number 216, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for attending with us tonight, directing your Spirit to be with us, to share these words of truth that we have heard. Truly, Father, help us to remember Thee in prayer and to avoid temptation in all things and to ask for our needs in faith. I thank you, Father, for these words that have come through Thy servant, Chris. And I pray that the benediction on this service and that your Spirit would attend with us and that these thoughts and understandings would stay with us and help us as we walk through the next week. Thank you again. And I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.